Good morning for WRCO News. I'm Todd Coppernall reporting. We've got 43 degrees in Richland Center under mostly blue skies. I'll start this morning's news with special recognition for our own Phil Nee. I'll read this just as it came in. Dear Phil, on behalf of the Lambda chapter of Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, it is my great pleasure to inform you that you have been selected as this year's recipient of the Friend of Education Award. This award is presented each year to an individual outside our organization who has demonstrated an exceptional commitment to education and has made a meaningful difference in the lives of students and educators alike. Your dedication and contributions have not gone unnoticed, and it is an honor to recognize you in this way. In typical Phil Nee fashion, when he read this, he smiled and said, "I think my old high school principal just lost a bet." The Richland County Board met Monday night to elect a new chair and vice chair. Corporate counsel Nathan Russell explained the procedure before nominations were taken. In the election for chair, Supervisor Richard McKee nominated Carrie Severson. Supervisor Steve Caro nominated Dave Turk. And Supervisor Daniel McGuire nominated Larry Engel, though Engel declined. County Administrator Trish Clements distributed paper ballots and the vote was taken. Carrie Severson was elected chair by a vote of 13-6. In the election of vice chair, Larry Engel and Dave Turk were the nominees. Engel was elected by a vote of 14-5. Supervisors Mark Cooey, Tiffany Thompson, Randy Schoonover, Shirley Welty, and Sandra Kramer were elected to join Severson and Engel as members of the Committee on Committees. The Richland Center City Council will meet tonight. Among the agenda items, a presentation by Running Incorporated regarding the shared ride taxi service, an update on the Cobblestone Inn Hotel project, an ordinance to dissolve the park board and amend the code to reassign oversight of parks and recreation, and an ordinance to authorize stop signs at various city intersections. This meeting begins at 6:30 at the City Municipal Building. This meeting is open to the public. With a goal of raising $16,000 for improvements to the baseball and softball field at Cazenovia Memorial Park, volunteers set out to get things done. At this point, more than $27,000 has been pledged and work is underway. Work will be done to improve the small ball diamond at the park, enclosing the field with chain link fence, protective fence cap, commercial foul poles, and a new batting cage. If funds allow, the batting cage will have a concrete floor. Separately, the Cazenovia American Legion has raised funds to rehabilitate the pavilion in the park. This involves completely removing the old concrete floor. A new floor is being poured and all structural posts will be replaced. The Caz Celebration has raised funds and will be rebuilding the park's bandstand. This is a community project involving several organizations and several projects happening simultaneously to improve the park for everyone. In Sauk County on Wednesday at approximately 7 p.m., UW MedFlight will be landing at the Iowa County Sheriff's Office as part of a training event. Iowa County Emergency Services will be training with the UW MedFlight team on landing zone safety. For everyone's safety, anyone wishing to watch should not park in the Sheriff's Office parking lot or along the roadway. Please use adjacent parking lots. This landing is weather dependent and subject to helicopter availability. A 14-year-old from Toma has died after being struck by a vehicle on Friday night. At approximately 9:45 p.m., the Monroe County 911 Communications Center received a report of a pedestrian who was struck by a vehicle on County Highway O in LaGrange Township. Life-saving efforts were attempted, but the juvenile did not survive. The driver of the vehicle stopped at the scene and rendered aid until emergency responders arrived. He is cooperating with the investigation. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services hosted a first-of-its-kind series of overdose prevention summits for first responders focused on overdose prevention training and education for emergency service workers and local leaders. The summits were held in each region of the state through April and brought together more than 250 first responders from almost 130 agencies to discuss local overdose prevention strategies. Paula Tran, state health officer and administrator of the Division of Public Health, stated DHS continues to lead statewide efforts to further reduce overdose deaths and the impacts substance use has on Wisconsin communities. Still, this work cannot be done alone, and DHS recognizes that first responders and public safety officials are essential partners in saving lives. They are often the first on the scene and routinely respond to overdoses. The Overdose Prevention Summit for First Responders series allowed first responders to learn local solutions from their peers and network with others working in overdose prevention. A combined total of 43 speakers presented at the five summits, which were held in different parts of the state to maximize regional participation. The summit series comes at a time when Wisconsin and the nation are seeing a changing drug landscape. While fentanyl continues to be a concern, there is a growing problem of methamphetamine being added to drug supplies. Methamphetamine is a sedative that is not approved for human use and has been found mixed with fentanyl in the northeast part of the country. DHS continues to monitor drug trends, and by strengthening relationships between public health and first responders, will continue to improve overdose response efforts to address the unpredictable nature of today's drug supply to save more lives. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eagle Country is creating a group for people with dementia in the local area called the Giving Voices Dementia Friendly Choir. Pam Kohlberg is a dementia care specialist for Richland and Crawford County.
There's a place that anybody can look up on the internet called Giving Voices Choirs, and they have been growing. They started in Minnesota. Now there's about 20 of them throughout Wisconsin State because music is popular. We know it helps the brain. It uses all parts of the brain. So they've been growing, and they're offering a grant. They said, well, we have one in La Crosse. There's a Giving Voices Choir. They go under different names. There's two in Milwaukee. All the big cities have them. And they said, we want the rural counties to be able to offer this dementia-friendly choir. And so they're offering a special grant, but one thing they ask is that we have a planning committee, sort of a group of people willing to do it. I'm looking for, you know, organizations that might support it.
The goal is to create inclusive spaces where singers feel a deep sense of belonging, safety, and joy, while also fostering greater understanding and reducing stigma around dementia.
We know that music choirs develop a sense of community, right? So if you meet every week, 12 weeks, and you're working towards a performance, you're going to feel like you're part of a group. And you maybe you'll be assigned a partner that can help you sort of figure out, you know, the music, the singing part. I plan to be part of it, and I can tell you I'll be mouthing the words and not actually singing. So the music part doesn't matter, but here you are part of a community. And this Giving Voices Choir method that they developed is about how do we set that up? How do we get people working towards a common goal? How do we get people feeling that they have an inclusive environment? And so I'm looking for a place. I'm looking for an agency that would host us and sponsor us. And I'm looking for a bunch of people to help me figure out how to recruit. And the nice thing is you don't have to be dementia to sing it. You could have a cognitive issue, or you could also be a partner or volunteer that wants to bring snacks, or you just want to come and sing with other people and create that community, that fellowship around music.
training and methodology for facilitating this choir will be given by Giving Voices organization. There will also be a search for a choir director and piano accompanist. Once the choir is started, the group will meet weekly in the fall. If interested in organizing or being a part of the choir, contact Pam by phone at 608-548-3954. You can find out more about Giving Voices at givingvoicechorus.org.